hold on, Beth. I got you. I just want to make sure the committee got the documents that Mr. Swift and John Tatum submitted to the to me. And I submitted it to Eileen. Eileen, were you able to send it to the committee?
Yes, I sent them with the agenda.
Thank you. Beth, you have the floor.
Thank you. With the exception of the suggestion that we begin with an amendment to a process we haven't reviewed yet, it's not clear to me how this would differ from what our subcommittee is already planning to do. We have a bylaw.
Who's causing this back?
Not John Tatum.
Go ahead, John Tatum, and then I hit Nancy. Go ahead, John Tatum.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that the plan that your subcommittee does not have to stop. That can keep going, and it would be incorporated as best as possible into the overall revision. That's my answer.
Okay, can I answer your question?
Yes, the last sentence that Mr. Swift said.
Are you asking me, Lawrence?
Yeah, because you asked the question to Mr. Swift and Mr. Tatum, right? And I think they provided.
Yes, well, the response that we just got makes our committee subordinate to this process, whereas I would suggest that if someone else wants to work on this too, they're welcome to take part in our committee and bring their suggestions forward to the committee through the process that we'll be using. There is a systematic process we will be using to review this from the top to the bottom through all the articles. To harmonize it with current California nonprofit 501c3 law. And my vision is to do that over the next few months so that when the law is reviewed again and updated next year, that we will be able to have brought our current bylaws up at least current with what's existing now. And then I would suggest that going forward, part of what should be in the bylaws is that we have a standing process for reviewing bylaws every 3 years as the law is updated to keep our law, to keep our bylaws current. So that there is a systematic process we'll be using for this and to apply two separate, different, independent systematic processes, it's not clear to me. I mean, why would we go to all that bother if you're going to do it? And why would we make our process subordinate to yours when it precedes your process?
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Yeah.
Michael White to this talk.
It's
John, Michael White. Go ahead, John. John.
Yeah, I was going to say that it is really two different processes. One, parliamentarians called a piecemeal approach, and the other is the complete revision approach. So they would not be the same. Your committee would not go out of existence, and I would not use the term the subcommittee is subordinate to this other concern. They're both concerned about getting the project done. No one is subordinate, and of course the PNB has the last word. You know, you've got to go through the subcommittee and it has to come back to the committee, and then it's got to go back to the board. So the thing that bothers me the most is what we're calling the piecemeal approach. I believe that the revision approach would be better. And Mike, if you want to chime in on that, you may.
Well, I agree with you, John. The best thing to do in such a case is to have a complete revision. But I understand the, I guess it was the chair of the subcommittee's point that having both of them running, doing work on the bylaws, you know, simultaneously might not be the best idea. I would recommend that they take the revision approach, at Pacifica, take the revision approach, and there's no reason why the members of that subcommittee couldn't be the members assigned the task of writing a revision. I mean, it's just some thoughts.
Okay, I need to discuss after Michael White, yeah.
Okay, Michael, you have the floor. That was you, Eileen, that wanted the floor?
Yes.
After
yes.
Michael? Okay. Michael, you have the floor.
Yeah, so I think I heard that there was a suggestion that the bylaws should be revised to be in compliance with and up to date with Robert's Rules 12. I think I heard that. And I'm not sure if there's any reason at all that we have to revise the bylaws when Robert's Rules revises. I believe our bylaws say that if there's a conflict between our bylaws and Robert's Rules, the bylaws take precedence, which is what they should be. I don't think you have to, like, be running, but did I hear that? And what is it that is in our bylaws that's in conflict with Robert's Rule 12? Why do we have to do that? Also, in terms of advocating that bylaws should be completely revised, I think, don't you not completely revise the bylaws unless you start from a determination on
Michael, your audio is very bad. So I don't know if it's
I'm
me
sorry.
Or the audio
no,
it's
Michael.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So if you could try to restate it, this is much better. That's much better, yeah.
Okay, so I don't know.
Your point.
So if you, I don't know why you go for a complete revision approach ever without saying that the reason that you're doing it is that you've already identified that you want to fundamentally overhaul the approach of the bylaws, and that's the reason you're doing it. Because if the bylaws fundamentally represent what is intended to be the mission and purpose and the balance of the organization, I don't think you advocate for a complete revision. You only do that if you're advocating that you've identified a need to totally change the balance and the approach of the organization overall.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on, John. Please bank it for now. I heard Nancy before Eileen.
No.
Is that correct?
No, you didn't.
No?
No, Eileen.
Yes,
heard
I did.
That.
I asked before Beth.
Yes, she did.
All right. Go ahead.
So, Eileen, just hold on. Go ahead, Nancy.
The last sentence that Mr. Swift said was, then you take it to the PNB. So it means the complete product. Is that what you were talking about? Or you were talking about something different? That's what I wanted to know.
I was talking about taking it.
No, not you. Mr. Swift, his last sentence was, then you take it to the PNB. That was the last sentence he said. And so
it means
after everything is all revised, then we take it to the PNB. We send it. Is that what you were talking about? Oh, it's too
Mr.
far
Swift.
Away. It's too long ago.
But,
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, once the this governance committee has considered the proposal, I understand, it's my understanding, that they would then take this proposal to the PNB for their consideration.
I see. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Eileen?
Yeah, a few things. First of all, Michael White, the suggestion was that we revise our bylaws every 3 years when the California Corporation of, what is it? California. You know, the body, I mean, when they update their own things. That's point number one. Point number two is, Beth said, and I hope she can clarify, Beth said that there is a procedure, a process, that we have one for doing a complete revision of the bylaws top to bottom, like the one that Mr. Tatum and Mr. Swift are suggesting, and I didn't realize that we had that, and we see that plan, but also we haven't even been able to convene a meeting of the subcommittee over several months, so I have certain doubts about how long it might take us to revise our bylaws in the same way. Next point is that one thing is revising the bylaws to make them coherent and concise and fitting together as a whole, but there's also the consideration about our governance structure that probably, you know, the efforts by New Day America, New Day Pacifica, and the bylaws referendum at the beginning of the year have been voted down, but to avoid throwing out the baby with the bathwater, there may be some suggestions among all of that that we would want to look at that I think outside reviewers wouldn't necessarily be able to help us with. So, because, you know, we are the ones who have to determine that, if it stays the same or if we want to update or change anything. So, you know, maybe that's where the bylaw subcommittee could come in, you know, with those substantive issues. I'm not sure if that's the right place for that to happen. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call on myself. There's nobody else that wants to stack. You did ask a question to Beth, right? Yeah. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. First of all, I'm holding the brand new 12th edition of Robert's Rules in my hand as we speak.
Yeah,
so that's already a consideration and will be taken into account through the process. Second, the process that I was taught came through the Ventura County Community Foundation training programs that they give. I went through their board leadership fellowship program, and in addition to that, a number of workshops offered by a California nonprofit corporate lawyer specifically regarding assessing and revising bylaws. I was so impressed with his work that I went back 3 times to be sure I got it right. And he had laid out a step-by-step process. The first step being to go through your entire set of bylaws, article by article, to see whether it's currently in compliance with current law. I doubt that we are completely in compliance because law has changed every 3 years. Has been revised itself every 3 years, and we haven't been doing that. So first we do that. As we do that, we become more familiar with the bylaws ourselves, and then we go back to review for consistency, harmonizing any conflicting items that we find, concision, clarity, and the deeper values. But I think the bringing Pacifica values to bear on this, I think, has to be an in-house process. I think trying to farm that out to any professional just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Thank you. So I have a couple of questions. Yeah, Jay, I'll go to you after.
When you're done. When you're done. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So the questions I have is, it's very much reflecting what Beth Van Gutten just said, and also what Eileen said. We do have a process, and how are we going to blend that process with the process that you're offering, which is, I think, I don't know if it's piecemeal or complete revision. We have, members have rights to submit bylaw changes, and then we also have a bylaw timeline that members are, as part of the members' rights to submit requested bylaw changes or amendments, bylaw amendments, that's the word. Does that essentially take away the actual governance work that this committee will be doing? And also, does that infringe, and maybe that's too strong of a word, but does that infringe or prohibit members' rights to submit bylaw amendments according to the bylaws timeline that's in the bylaws and not bylaws right now? I don't know who could. Do you want to take a shot at that, John, or Mr. Swift?
Well, it wouldn't take away the rights of the members to submit amendments in accordance with Article 17, the current Article 17, Section 1. No, sir.
Right. Okay. All right. And so the timeline will remain in place?
The
new timeline that comes up in January will remain in place? Hold on, Eileen. I got James and Daniel.
Okay.
So is that correct, Mr. Swift? The new bylaws, the annual bylaws timeline will remain in place?
Yeah, nothing in the current bylaws would change until an appropriate amendment is made to change it.
Okay. Thank you. James, you have the floor, and then Eileen.
Thank you, Lawrence.
And then Hanson, please.
Okay, got you, Nancy.
I guess therein lies my question as to whether this is better to do piecemeal by an incremental amendment process or whether it's better to do it wholesale by a complete revision. And, I guess the question is, would we be revising things little by little, or would we be coming up with a draft revision and then putting the whole thing to a vote? And I analogize this to constitutional law. In constitutional law, periodically, the suggestion comes up that a constitutional convention be held to revise the Constitution of the United States, and oftentimes constitutional scholars oppose it because they find out that the American people, when you survey them, are against most of the Bill of Rights and would vote against the Bill of Rights. So you have to be careful about opening up the Constitution because you don't know what you're going to get. So we have very democratic bylaws, and if we're guided by outside sources who are more used to corporate-style bylaws or less democratic-style bylaws, it might actually, I don't know, it may be good for the organization, but it may also challenge our democratic structure and our ability to get a wide range of representation from all manner of people and groups. So I'm not actually expressing an opinion here. I'm just saying I think we need to be cautious, and I would like to have a further explication of why it's better to do this wholesale than it is to do it piecemeal, if that's the suggestion.
Time.
Thank you.
Okay. There's a couple of questions there, so if we could take a minute and a half to respond to those questions, Mr. Swift or Mr. Tatum.
Well, the...
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
So, who are you calling on?
Either one of you that could address James' question.
Okay, I'll be quick. The wholesale revision is better than isolated amendment, and that's because when you make these isolated amendments, I've seen several cases where they already conflict with what you have. And so as you're bringing them in, each time you bring some one isolated amendment, it may conflict with what's already there. And that's the reason to do the whole revision, because you can look at all of that at the same time.
Okay, Mr. Swift, you want to take a bite of that?
With a revision, an entirely new document is presented, and following the procedure for amending bylaws, it is considered by the members in sequence from the top down. So it's a completely new document. And an analysis that I've used in the past is that because I'm an old man, when I was a young kid and we had bicycles and we put patches on the inner tubes, you would get to the point where your inner tube was more patches than tube, and eventually you had to get a new tube. So bylaws over the years get patched. I mean, I've worked with many corporations, and it's just the way it goes. They get patched, and the patches don't always line up neatly, and they become more and more lumpy. So you reach the point where you do a revision. So the revision would be a completely new document presented to the members, and it has to be adopted in accordance with the current Article 17, that is, you got to follow the bylaws as written procedure in order to present this new revision, so you don't slip anything in on anybody. They start from the top down with a perfectly clean document and consider it in sequence from Article 1 to the conclusion, making sure that everything, you know, coincides, fits, and as John said, doesn't conflict with itself or other documents. Thank you.
Thank you. Eileen?
Let me speak. I have the floor.
I heard you best. Go ahead, Eileen.
A couple of things. Even if we go ahead with a full revision, kind of responding to what James was asking, that doesn't leave out the possibility of people submitting. There are things in the bylaws that annoy any or all of us, you know, like, or that aren't well enough defined, like how staff members, do staff members continue to be staff members if they lose their show? Or, you know, can we define that more clearly? And, you know, I'm sure there are just dozens of other things like that that people have run into that just aren't very clear. So that's, you know, we could ask people to, you know, submit their bylaws ideas to enter into any, to be considered for any revision. But another, and perhaps the biggest consideration as to whether to go with external folks to do a revision versus us doing it internally the 2 points are money and time. I wonder how long it's actually going to take our bylaws subcommittee to be able to achieve the same kind of base document that professionals could do it. On the other hand, there is a fee for them to do this, and you know, we don't have much money these days. So those are things to take into account. I feel like I had something else, but I've forgotten it, so I'll leave it there.
Okay. This is just a presentation. This is not a commitment.
Yeah.
So it's just gathering the information. I know John knows about financial situation. All right, so I got, I believe I heard Beth. Did you also type in Nancy?
Yes.
I thought you did. Okay. I'm going to go to the pastor and Nancy. And who's that? Lou? Okay,
Lou.
Got you.
Thank you.
I got you.
Oh, I defer to Lou because he hadn't spoken yet.
Okay.
Please
let me chair the meeting, Nancy, for the Hub Team time. I have Beth, then Nancy, then Lou. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. The process I was taught, the process that I'll be presenting to the committee, is comprehensive. It's systematic, it's thorough, it's methodical. It reviews the entire document top to bottom. I agree that our bylaws need review and revision, and that it should be done comprehensively. Piecemeal is not a word I would use to apply to the process we have in mind. So that's not our word. That's your word, and I'm not sure why you chose it, or would make that assumption. So I consider what we're setting out to do to be comprehensive. Thank you. That's the intent.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Beth. Nancy, you have the floor.
Yes. I agree with some of the points Eileen said and Beth said, but what I'm worried is that we need some legislative reform now, like yesterday, and so I don't think we should stop doing that while we are thinking about a revision of the entire document, because we need very urgent things done. Otherwise, we might not be around. That's all.
Thank you, Nancy. Mr. Wolf, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm not sure, Beth, whether you are part of New Day Pacifica. Can you help me know on that one?
Because no, she's not. She's not.
Okay.
I'm not. Well, no.
All right. My only concern is, thank you. My only concern is that New Day Pacifica, and I've looked at it very closely, seeks to, under the guise of, I say, I could be wrong, but under the guise of bylaw amendments, they have introduced a whole new effort, among other things, to literally dismantle the local station boards. I find that totally anti-democratic. And several other aspects, which I won't spend our time on tonight, but I would hope that if we're taking up bylaw amendments broad brush, let's just be careful that we're not going in the direction that New Day Pacifica is seeking to go. Thank you.
Okay, so we have, hold on, yes, you may, hold on 1 second, John. So we have about six minutes left on this item. John, if you could make it brief, this way we can have more time for other members.
Okay, yeah, very brief. I wanted to say that the word piecemeal approach comes from parliamentarians talking to each other. But if you want the correct term for piecemeal, you would use isolated changes as a instead of a full revision. Those are the two opposites. Isolated changes, which means one amendment at a time, and the full revision means the whole document.
Thank you. Are there any other members that wish to speak, especially those who haven't bitten the apple yet?
Dwayne Lark.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
I'd like to associate my comments and agree with some of the thoughts that Beth and Eileen shared. But I think in the whole of what New Day and the Old Day and whatever you call them from last year did was piecemeal. And I think we've been doing it piecemeal, given that we have two periods each year where we submit from the PNB or from others, amendments, revisions, additions, subtractions, deletions, and alterations of our bylaws for the last 15 years. So that's piecemeal. What I have proposed and what I think is really needed is a constitutional convention, which if most of us do agree that they may, our bylaws very well may be outdated. I don't go as far as to say that they may be out of compliance with California statute, but I've been involved with a number of national and local nonprofits, and I have to tell you that after 30 or 40 years of association, none of them have gone through constitutional convention and revised their bylaws based on new laws passed. They're not even familiar with new laws passed. So if that is the case, then 90% of nonprofits are out of compliance with their state laws, if in fact that is true. But I do think in the end, we can do what we can do at this level. But if we're really going to correct the evils that most of us recognize and admit, even new days, that we'll have to come together at some point, whether virtual or in person, as we used to do, if COVID ever allow us to, and really go line by line, as been stated, word by word, and come up with some agreement as to what is good, what is bad, what is needed, what is not, what is, needs to be changed, what doesn't need to be changed, what needs to be revised. And so that's something I've been floating for the last several years. Might not happen, but in the end, I believe that the only way to really get this ship right. And by the way, while you're having that constitutional convention, why don't you throw in an in-person meeting and throw in a real strategic plan adoption? Thank you.
Woohoo.
Thank you, Dwayne. Any other members who have not spoken yet want to buy that disciple? We have 2 minutes left. Okay.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, this is Eileen.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention to Dwayne and everybody else, we did change a bylaw. You can have as many bylaws amendment periods as you like now in a year. We're no longer limited to 2 times. Just FYI.
Okay. Go ahead, Nancy. State your point.
I don't think you heard the agenda, and we decide if we get finished, we can go on to the 2 new business motions.
We're not finished with this.
Nancy, no, I just
want
to make sure, Lawrence.
Nancy, you're jumping the gun. That's why Eileen has so graciously agreed to read the item, because I was going to be in my car. I was going to be driving. I appreciate your thought, though. Thank you so much. Nancy?
I do have...
Whoa. Okay. Please. I don't know what to do. And I'm not into muting, so I'm not going to do that. The committee needs to... Hold on, Alina. I'll recognize you in a minute. The committee needs to decide what to do to this, what to do with this proposal. Are we going to take it under advisement? Are we going to send it to the bylaw subcommittee? What are we going to do with this? I'll send this discussion for 5 minutes, and then we'll go to new business. So what does the committee want to do?
This is Beth.
Hold on, Eileen asked for the floor, Beth, and then I'll go.
No, that's exactly. I wanted to know where we were going to go from here. So thank you. Thank
okay.
You.
All right. Beth, go ahead.
Well. I would welcome the attendance, the participation of others with an interest in the bylaws in the committee. I would just reiterate that there already is a committee. We've already committed to this process. I can't think of any reason that we would stand aside from that, defer to some other outer process. But I completely welcome. Well, we'll be soliciting input from the entire Pacifica. Anyone who has interest, if they have particular changes or processes in mind, in terms of negotiating our way through potential changes that may need to be made. I've found the book Getting to Yes and Getting Past No particularly helpful to facilitate dialogue. So I'm open to the input. I'm open to the participation. The proposal as stands is not something I could sign on to, but I appreciate the interest. Thank you.
Okay. Any other members wishing to speak on this? Where we go from here?
Nancy. So I say ditto to what Beth. Yeah, I say ditto to what Beth just said. That's all.
Okay. Got your ditto. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is James.
Go ahead, James.
I'm going to just reiterate my cautiousness again, but I do understand that virtually everybody thinks that the bylaws need revision. But it reminds me of our community advisory board at WBAI. We discussed the programming, and we had a meeting once where we decided to talk about what we liked and what we didn't like, and everyone agreed that our programming needed to be revised. When we went around the circle of about 15 or 20 different people, everybody had a different program that they hated the most, and everybody had a different program that they liked the most. And so I just hope that we can do something like this and make it positive and not have it be a huge distraction from our financial concerns right now. Certainly hope it doesn't break out into a civil war. And, you know, but I think sometimes you have to be brave and you have to step out into the unknown. And, you know, maybe that's what we need to stop the endless cycle of attempts to revise our bylaws that may end up bankrupting us. So I still, you know, I guess I have to wait to see the proposals before I decide. But, you know, why not? We need to do something, so why not?
Okay. So I haven't heard the motion yet in regards to how we're going to dispense of this proposal, or are we going to take it under advisement? Beth, were you thinking that we could also invite Mr. Swift and Mr. Tatum to the bylaws subcommittee?
I wouldn't have anything against that. I mean, I would I'd be completely open to that if that's what they would like to do. Myself, that I'm one of several people on that committee, so I'm just speaking for myself in the moment, but I'm open.
Okay, and I just want to remind the committee that this is an expense that's not neutral. It costs money.
Yes.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy.
I heard you.
Yes,
ahead,
that's
Nancy.
The point. I'd like us to say thank you for this offer, and we'll think about it. But right now, we cannot afford to be doing this kind of thing, and we've got to go after the priorities. What is most important to save our foundation now? And this motion says in the third quarter we're going to be presenting or doing something in the third quarter. Well, we have to do things now, so we got to go after the most urgent things to work on, and not a full everything revision. Thank you.
Okay,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Tatum.
Yeah, as I listen around for some of the questions, they were already answered in the proposal, and some of you might not have had a chance to read it, but I don't see this proposal as an outside organization. I think we'll we're all together here, you know, as you know, I am the parliamentarian for the National Board. I'm also the parliamentarian for the LSB in D.C. But I don't think, and Mike, you can answer for yourself, I don't think, I think that we're all friends here. I would not want you or myself to be regarded as an outside organization because we're working with Pacifica.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Mr. Swift, is there anything you want to say on your way out?
Just to add to what John just said, Mr. Chairman, this would still be done by all the insiders, all the Pacifica people. The only outsider, I guess, would be me.
Okay. Committee, I'd like to make a suggestion that the proposal be not considered, but be taken under advisement and maybe be discussed at the next bylaws subcommittee meeting. What do you think, Beth?
That's fine with me. I'm open to that.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, do you guys need some privacy to have a brief discussion on this proposal, and we could,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
It's Mike Swift. Should I sign off, sir, so I don't butt in your business?
Hold on one second. Unless anybody has any further questions.
This is James. I have a request for information, but it doesn't concern the guest.
Okay. So
okay.
The guests could depart if they'd like.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll get out of your way, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
And
thank you very much, Mr. Mr. Tatum. Thank you,
okay.
Mr. Tatum, for your time.
Thank you
appreciate
both
it.
For being here. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
James?
I was wondering if you could, or someone could read out the membership of the subcommittee.
That would be Beth.
I can do that. Give me just a moment to turn to it. Yes, the subcommittee consists of Lawrence, Nancy, Jim Sagerton, Michael White, William Heerwagen, and myself.
Thank you.
I have a question. This is Beth,
somebody
I have a question.
Hold on, please. Mute yourselves, please. Beth has the floor. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Maybe you can help me with this, Lawrence. A question of procedure. There's a longtime listener member from KPFK who's heard about this work and is interested in volunteering to work with the committee. Is that kosher? Was there a standing procedure for including or not including listener members?
Well, that's an excellent question. I know the Development Task Force, the PNB Development Task Force has a, but this is a subcommittee, so it's not a task force. So, but I did hear Nancy earlier say that we need people to get involved.
Is there anything that would prevent it?
Well, the only thing is that this is a PNB standing committee, and then you are a PNB standing committee subcommittee. So let me consult with the chair and the secretary. Oh, Dwayne, are you still on the call? Dwayne.
Yes, I'm still on the call.
What say you about this question, sir?
I'm really brain drained with respect to that question and any other questions. I'm here out of respect for the rest of your time, the rest of you guys' time. But I say nothing.
Nancy on the stack.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes. We are elected by our LSVs and by the PNB directors are elected by the PNB directors. So I would say no to Beth, but if we are on the stream or we have a conference call and that person is listening, that's their right to listen, and they can text us or they can email us their comments. That's fine. But no, I don't think they can be, unless it's a task force, that's different. But this is a committee elected by the LSB and PNB. That's all.
Thank you. That's essentially, that was what I was thinking too. So does that answer your question, Beth? But we could talk offline,
okay.
And I'll consult with other folks to find out. I think Nancy's correct though, because we are elected, and then I'm elected as a director to be on the committee, and then you guys elected me to be the chair. So, yeah, it's not a task force. That's the only difference. Okay, new business, please. And I just want to thank Dwayne for his respect and his deference to my screw-up tonight. Arlene, new business? What's our new business?
New business actually started with John Tatum and Mike Swift's presentation.
Okay.
This is the second point. Motions regarding the recording of attendance in meeting minutes that was referred to us by the PNB. Before you got here, Chair, there was actually a vote. A couple of people did not want to leave this. They wanted to remove it from the agenda, but that was voted down. And their reason was because they were sent what they believe is a lot of information to read and meetings to listen to. I said that I thought I could present this, explain what this is about in just a few minutes.
Okay, I just want to inform the committee, when a motion is referred from the board to a standing committee, we have to take it up and then we have to report back to the board. Is that, go ahead, Nancy.
Point of order.
Arlene.
This is doing all right.
State your point, Dwayne.
Well, Mr. Chair, I take issue with that interpretation, as we have a chair of the finance committee on this call. And if that is true, what you just stated, then the chair and the finance committee have been in violation of that rule for the last 3 or 4 months as relates to a motion that was sent from the PNB to the finance committee relative to KPSP. And so I do not believe that it has to report. I believe that it can take as much time, since the PNB did not give a time certain for a report. This is what we call in parliamentary procedures something dying in the committee. And this is how it dies in the committee, because if the governing body does not state a specific time to report back, it could theoretically never get back.
I understand, Dwayne, and I have a lot of deference to you and reverence. It's always been, as the chair, I've always tried to practice, something gets referred. I don't want it to die on the vine. I like it to be addressed, but again, I'm just one person. I have no reporting power without the committee wanting to address the referred motion. So, and from what I understand, the motion was attempted to be taken off the agenda. And that motion didn't pass, Arlene?
It failed.
It failed, okay. All right, so it's on the floor now. Yeah.
May I be recognized to
yes, you may.
Try to explain what this is about and my suggestion? What this is about is that the secretary of the PNB was recently noting that some people arrived late to the meeting after quorum had been established, and she noted it in the minutes. And a couple of the directors who were so noted objected strongly to being shown as having arrived late. This took about 45 minutes of our precious time in one meeting, 45 times however many PNP members there are. It was close to dilatory in my view. But anyway, so there is a motion to avoid noting if a director has come in late or not, or has left early, I assume. That long email you got with a lot of references and links to meetings you could listen to and websites you could go to look up the quote-unquote rules about how these things are noted, you don't need to listen to all that. You don't need to read all of that. You can glance at some of those web pages, but it seems that most of them, because I did look at them, because I like stuff like that, but most of them say that, recommend that you do note when people either turn up late or leave early in order to know who was present when things happened. Obviously, if there's a roll call vote, we note who voted how, but if there's a hearing no objections approval, we might not know who all approved that, so if we don't know if somebody was there or not. And apparently there are a lot of different methods. You can note the time that somebody arrived or left or not. There are variations. But that's what this whole thing is about. I guess people don't want to go down in posterity showing that they've been late to a meeting. I believe Duane, that's the deck. Whole... Yeah, I'm okay. Hoping you, you
hold on,
can...
Hold on.
Let me just finish.
Go ahead,
you
finish
can, I'm trying to, that you two can, clarify anything I got wrong. My suggestion would be for us to postpone consideration of this until December's meeting, after people have had a chance to listen to this and whatever Duane and Lawrence and anybody else have to say about what they heard in the meetings, and have time to look at some of those websites. I am now done.
Thank you. Duane, Lark, you have the floor, sir.
Well, in all due respect, the reason I...
Nancy, chill. And wait till somebody finishes before you request us back. Go ahead, Duane.
Well, in all due respect, I appreciate Eileen pointing out what the motion was, but I heard a few things that could be described as argument for. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to chime in, that I didn't know we were at the argument stage or the
con stage.
I'm sure you didn't intend to do it, but that you were accurate in your descriptions about how people went after it, and I would say that it was more than two. I recall at least four people who had some issue with it, and the motioner, I would say, she's either lost her calling as a school teacher, or that she just has this propensity of wanting to record things that most secretaries don't put in a record, which is, and I mean, you refer to it as your area tonight. Action taken.
I'm sorry, okay. Duane, you're very muffled. You're in the neck.
Hold on, Eileen. He's not in and out to me. Okay, I'm fine. But I'll try to.
Can I hear him?
Sorry.
Okay. Nancy, can I hear him? Go ahead, Duane.
Okay, let me restate that I believe the person who's made the motion is either missed their calling as a school teacher or just have this propensity of wanting to record things. In my opinion, I don't believe anyone want to read a book when they read minutes. I don't believe anyone really want to know who was present at the end of the meeting as opposed to who was present at the beginning of the meeting, because it's rather important to know you got a quorum. That's why you do it at the beginning of the meeting. But who left out of the meeting, at what time they left out of the meeting, that is what would be described in court as a transcript.
So mm-hmm. I think that this is just overloading. I think this is an indication of a secretary who has too much time on her hands, because most people who are secretary, they want to have to record the least amount of information as possible to get it accurate, which if you've been in any secretary training as a organizational secretary, not a corporate secretary, but an organizational secretary, particularly a nonprofit, you are trained to write down, record action taken. And if there is some extraordinary behavior that is addressed by the chair and the organization and the body, then you record that well and the outcome. But my argument to this, and I think this was the argument of a couple other members. Listen, I am a volunteer. I have a business. I have commitments in my community. I have commitments to my church. I have commitments to my family. And I take out my time, just like you do, and to all those commitments. And I think I'm a very good time manager. I have to be to live up to all those commitments. And I find it abhorrently offensive for you, after I take the time to show up at a meeting, to want to report. And I don't say you, I'm just saying the secretary who brought this forward, who did it in the first place. I find it patently offensive that you would want to put in a record that after I take the time to leave this, stop my work early, lose money in a business or what have you, and come to a meeting, and then you want to record me as late, or you want to record me as leaving the meeting early, and all that other insidious craziness. I just believe that's a control freak, and I've never seen it, and I've been involved with at least 100 different entities since I was 10 years old, and I've never seen such recording in any records, in any minute. And I've been on this earth for 61 years, and I've been serving in committees from school at 10 years old.
Okay.
It's insidious.
Okay. Thank you, Dwayne. Nancy, did you want the floor? I heard your voice.
No.
Okay.
No. I just said I can hear you now. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Beth, okay. Hold on, Beth. I thought I heard Eileen make a motion to postpone this referred item to December's meeting. Is that right, Eileen?
That's correct. I didn't put it that way, but I suppose it is a motion, yes.
Yeah, because you said postpone. Whenever I hear the word postpone, my ears jump up. Okay. I'm going to go to Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
I'll ask are we going to go ahead and deal with this tonight, or are we going to postpone it? I do have feelings about things I'd like to express about it, but if we're going to wait to take it up at the next meeting, I can wait for the discussion at that time.
Yeah, that's a wise decision, I think, Beth, because if it's being considered to suspend, then you should probably keep your arrows in your holes.
If it's just going to disappear, you know, into some void somewhere.
Well, the good thing, Beth, is that she's postponing to the next meeting, so it'll come up in the next meeting if the motion passes.
In that case, because I support the motion, and I would like to express why, but I'll wait to do it until we're ready to make that decision.
Yeah, because that wouldn't be in order right now, Beth.
Right.
Expressing, yeah. That'll be what in legal jargon, it's poisoning the well, so to speak.
Right.
Okay.
Well, but we have had discussions. There have been discussions preceding me, and if that was going to lead somewhere, then I wanted to weigh in. But if we're going to wait until next time to determine the outcome, then I can wait until then to have my say.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. So, anyone else? Okay. Are there any... who's that?
Yeah, Nancy, I wanted to ask a question. So we've had two people express on this. Dwayne did.
Nancy, that's not... I'm sorry, but
I'm
that's
asking.
Not what...
I'm asking a question. Only two people expressed on this right now, right?
Well, Nancy, there's a motion to postpone. That's what's on the table. Not
I'll
questions on we don't need the second stuff in committee. Please try to remember that.
Right.
Okay. Are there any objections to postponing the referral motion from the PNB to next month? Okay, hearing no objections.
I would like to vote on I would like to vote on it tonight. I'd like to hear other people.
Well, are there objections?
Nancy,
yeah,
if you're objecting, we'll go to a vote. A vote, a yes vote is to postpone the motion. A no vote is not to postpone the motion. Am I correct there?
That sounds right to me.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
I can call.
All right,
we're
going to take a vote. Please call the roll, Eileen. Thank you.
Okay. Dwayne Lark, do you want to postpone to December?
No, let's deal with it.
Oh, okay. Eileen says yes. Beth?
I'll pass for the moment.
Okay. James Sackerton?
James, are you muted?
Let me see if he's still here.
Yes, I was muted. I vote yes.
Okay.
Thank you for waiting.
Lewis Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. Michael White?
Yes.
Nancy Saivara Narutomi?
No.
William Hirwagon?
Abstain.
Okay, 1 second. Count. All right, we have 4 yeses, 2 noes. Oh, wait, I have to come back to, I'm sorry. Let me come back to Beth Von Gunten.
Yes,
you pass?
Yes, is to wait.
Yes,
is that
okay.
Right?
Yes is to postpone.
Yes.
Okay, we have 5 yeses, 2 noes, 1 abstention. So the motion carries.
You didn't get my vote, Eileen.
I'm sorry, Lawrence. How did I miss that?
It's okay. It's okay. I'll talk to you. I'm here. I'm in my car.
Are you not on my list here? I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
You. You're down at the bottom. That's why. How do you vote, Chair?
No, I vote no.
Okay. Forgive me on that then. Okay, so we have 5 yeses,
okay.
3 noes, and 1 abstention.
Okay,
so
the motion to postpone carries. Is there anything else on new business, Eileen?
There
William
are a couple Christoph. Of...
William, hold on, hold on. Eileen, go ahead.
There are a few more items. There's the one where Ted Weisgall wants us to change when we have our meetings to accommodate his other commitment on the third Wednesday of the month.
Okay. Hold on,
hang
please.
On. Then Nancy Saibara Narutomi sent in 2 motions at the last minute. One has to do with gaining access to financials at the LSB level, and the other one has to do with voting methods.
Okay. William, you requested this fact respectfully.
Thanks. Thank you. I move to adjourn.
Okay, there's a motion to adjourn. That's not debatable. We go to a vote. Chair?
Any objection?
Eileen? Hold on, please. Nancy, hold on. Are there any objections? You going to object, Nancy?
This is Beth. I object.
Okay. There's an objection. we'll go to a vote. We're voting on a motion to adjourn, which is not debatable.
Okay.
Eileen, please take the roll.
Dwayne?
Are you muted?
Let me look. Hang on. You passed, Dwayne?
She passed.
Did you say? Okay,
Nancy,
pass.
Please stop it.
Eileen votes yes. Beth, how do you vote?
Remind me which is yes and which is no. I'm really tired.
Yes is to adjourn. Uh-huh.
No.
Okay. James Fagerkin? Jim, unmute. I'll come back to you, Jim. Lou Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Michael White?
Yes.
Nancy Saguaro-Narutomi?
Yeah, it's past 11 p.m. Eastern. Yes.
Yeah. William Heerwagon?
Yes.
Lawrence?
No. And I do want to address the question of whether we should change nights or not.
Hang on. Dwayne, you passed. Do you want to vote?
Well, I'll go with my chair. I vote no.
Okay. Give me a moment.
James, you have to get James to vote.
Oh, right.
James.
Yeah, I apologize for the muting problem.
Okay.
I'm going to abstain.
Oh, okay. James, abstain. All right. So we have 5 yes, 3 no. That didn't. Okay, hang on. 5 yes, 3 no, and 1 abstention. So the motion passes.
So I'd like to seek the wisdom of the committee.
The meeting is adjourned. Lawrence, the meeting is adjourned.
Well, I understand. You could appeal my decision with him if you want. I want us to make a decision.
The meeting is adjourned.
Excuse me. I'm the chair, and if you think I'm out of hand, you could appeal my decision. I want to determine whether we should change nights of this meeting to, Monday nights.
No.
Or Tuesday nights.
Can we, Nancy on the deck, can we do this by email, polling the committee?
No, we can't vote by proxy like that, no.
Yes, we
polling
can.
Is okay. Well,
only if it's
well, Mr. Chair, any decisions are going to be affected until the next meeting when we're in session anyway, because anything done now could not be in effect because we're out of session.
Right, okay. All right, well, I know I have a difficult time with Wednesday night, so I guess I'm being a little selfish about that.
Let's check our schedules and look at it next time. I have a problem, too.
He can do a preference poll on the Internet. You can do a preference poll by email, but we'll have to vote at the next meeting.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, okay. All right, so we do a preference poll. Thank you, people. We are adjourned.